The reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 16a. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Word of God, word of life.
So as a pastor, I am often blessed to get to visit with people. Many times when I visit with people, it's oftentimes maybe when they've been sick or have surgery or maybe aren't able to come to church anymore. And so since they can't come to us here, I often go out to visit them. And it's not only me who goes to visit people who can't make it to church. We're blessed to have home communion ministers who we send out to bring the church when people cannot get to church themselves. And oftentimes when I'm going out for these visits, it's because people's bodies may no longer be doing what they want them to do. Or maybe in other cases, it may be that people's minds are no longer doing what they want them to do. Oftentimes it's because of aging, but not always. Oftentimes people that I'm interacting with find themselves in difficult situations. One of the ones that tends to be some of the most difficult are when people begin to have early stages of dementia, when they start to forget things, but they know they're forgetting things. And it's really challenging to know that you're forgetting things that are so important to you. And so people find that to be a really distressing time. Sometimes, eventually, the dementia may become even worse, and so they don't remember even maybe who their family members are or things that have been important to them. And oftentimes when I come to visit, people will not remember who I am. And so whenever I come to visit them, I just enter at whatever space they're in. And, you know, sometimes I'll come and visit and we'll just talk about whatever they'd like to. And sometimes, you know, we're back in high school because you know what I look like? I'm in high school. So clearly we're all back in high school together. So we'll have lovely conversations about what it means to be in high school or whatever it may be. But many times I found as I begin to, you know, interact and be with people that find dementia, sometimes they may even not remember such basic things as their name. You know, it just gets so far advanced. And so this could be really distressing to people, and just because they can't remember and they want to remember, but they don't remember. And one of the most fascinating things that I found, though, is as a lot of times as I'll kind of wrap up visits together, I'll just wrap up time together, and I'll say, well, let's pray together. And then I'll say, Our Father, and I'll begin to move into the Lord's Prayer. And someone who couldn't even remember their name will begin to recite the Lord's Prayer with me. This basic habit that they had from childhood. Or I might begin and I'll say, The Lord is my shepherd. And they'll begin to recite Psalm 23 from the King James Version with me. Only the King James Version, because that's what they memorized when they were kids. These are parts that they learned and memorized, daily habits from early in their childhood. Other times it may be a song that'll come back to them, with simple songs I was sharing earlier with the kids, Jesus loves me. And they may not know their name, but as I began to just slowly sing that song, they may join into song. It's not always, but it's an amazing thing when it happens, because what happens is that you'll see this sense of peace just wash over them, because they can remember something. They can remember something, and so it's amazing for them to experience that they can remember. And they can remember because this daily habit from their childhood, something they memorized early on in life, they still can remember it. And so it's holding them. And oftentimes, this is what ritual does for us. Ritual holds us when we can't hold ourselves. It gives shape and structure to our lives. And we find that the same thing is true when we have daily habits, these habits, that these rituals that shape our lives. And so we find that these rituals, these daily habits, help to transform us, to transform our perspectives. These habits, these daily habits, can help to broaden how we think about things. In our reading for today from Romans 12, Paul writes, he says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And this really is, it's a familiar verse to some, but this verse really speaks about how our minds can be transformed. It's so easy to get conformed to this world. And oftentimes, when I think of what it means to be conformed to this world, it's sort of like we have blinders on, and we can only start to think about ourselves and our lives and the way that we see things, that we have become conformed to our perspectives. And so to be transformed kind of opens things up, opens our eyes to a broader world, opens up our perspective. And so many times to be transformed is to have a much bigger picture of things. And so we find that many times these daily rituals can help us to have that transformation, that opening of our minds, that no longer is conforming us to a small way of looking at the world, but transforming our minds. And we'll see that these oftentimes different habits do that. So I'm going to just share a story about myself just frequently, or recently that happened. About a week and a half ago, I flew down. My husband's family's all from Texas, and his parents were needing a little help around the house. And so I looked at my schedule, and I had a few days that didn't seem to have a lot going on. And I looked online, and there were cheap flights on Frontier. So I said, you know what? I can grab a cheap flight on Frontier, fly down on a Wednesday, get back on Saturday. It'll be perfect. No problem. So I hop on the flight, fly down. Now, Joel's parents live about an hour and a half outside of Austin. And so they come and they pick me up, and I get down there Wednesday. We start to work on these projects. Wednesday night, we're watching the news, 10 o'clock news. And on the news, everything is about a hurricane coming. Now, I clearly had been oblivious here in Colorado that there was a hurricane coming, but in Texas, they were very aware that this hurricane was coming, and this hurricane was going to hit land on Friday or Saturday. Now, my plane was leaving on Saturday, and I was flying Frontier. Frontier has one flight a day from Denver to Austin. Leaves at 9 a.m. in the morning, gets to Austin at noon, turn it around at 1, back to Denver. So, as I am looking out Wednesday night, going to bed thinking, what happens if I cannot get out of here on Saturday? There's a high probability that this flight is going to be canceled with this hurricane making landfall sometime Friday night or Saturday. And all Wednesday night, as I was laying in my bed, I kept trying to think of, what am I going to, if I don't get out Saturday, there's only one flight a day on Frontier. If I don't get out Saturday, I may be stuck in Texas for like a week. It will be forever until I get out of there. So I'm trying to think of, well, maybe I could rent a car if I could get home. All the possibilities rolling through my head, how this is going to impact my life. What are we going to do with the kids? How are we going to, all these things. Next morning, I wake up not very rested, bright and early, and I go on my morning run. Oftentimes, for me, I find that my morning run is some of my best prayer. Allows me to get out and use my body and also to have that quiet time to talk to God. And so as I'm talking to God that morning, trying to tell God, you know, you got to get out me out of here on Saturday. Because I can't stay in Texas any longer than that. And suddenly, I get a new perspective. I start thinking to myself, Sonia, you are in a dry, safe place. Your home is dry and safe. It will continue to be dry and safe long after this hurricane hits. Now, at this point, we did not even begin to realize the devastation that this hurricane would have. But suddenly, my whole perspective changed as I realized my problem of getting trapped, staying with my in-laws, probably is very small considering the other impact that it will have on people's lives. And truly, it's a bigger impact than we ever even could have imagined. We still have no idea the impact of what this hurricane is having on people's lives. It was this daily ritual, my ritual of running and praying and talking to God, that transformed that perspective to get me outside of myself, where I was conformed to my world and my perspective, and getting myself outside to start thinking, truly, what is the bigger perspective here, a transformation of the mind. And that's oftentimes what we see here is this transformation that Paul is writing about here. He starts out and begins, it's not just a transformation of the mind, but it's actually the whole body, mind, soul, and spirit. Because Paul writes, he says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And so we find that it is a spiritual worship. It's a transforming of the mind. We're presenting our bodies. That everything, that God is transforming our whole lives through these daily habits and practices. And so truly, these daily habits help to transform us. And that's what we find here, is that we find that these transformations occur and it begins to change us. A little bit later, Paul writes about then as we're being transformed, what it means then to have that transformed life. He talks about the marks of the true Christian. I'm not going to read all of these, but this is just some of the things that Paul writes about here. Paul says, love one another with mutual affection, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints. That's those who are part of the Christian community, the saints in Christ, and extend hospitality to strangers. So it expands beyond that as well, not just those in your community, but even strangers as well. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. As our lives are transformed, we begin to live out these marks of a Christian. Sometimes these marks, as we begin to see them, we really see that it's not really about individual life as well, that they're really communal, that when we rejoice together. If one's rejoicing, we'll all rejoice. And if one's weeping, we'll all weep together. That truly these marks of a Christian are communal. The community gathered together. And so this transformation helps to connect us to God and one another as we love God and love others. And so truly this is the transformation that we experience. We find here that in this transformation that Paul is speaking about, sometimes though, we can start to think about, oh my goodness, well, these are all the things I now need to do. It can start to feel really overwhelming. But what we missed is there's a little part, and this is an interesting part of the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, there's kind of two sections, the first 11 chapters and then chapter 12 and on. And so we're right at the hinge point here between the two. All the first 11 chapters speak about all the things Christ has done for us. And so it speaks about how Christ has been that sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We hear about these wonderful promises and all that God has done for us in Jesus in the first 11 chapters there. And then right there, verse 12, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, I urge you. And then it continues to go on with this transformed life. And this small little word, therefore, it's only a small little word right there. But really it's saying is, since God's done all this stuff, therefore, we live lives of gratitude and thanks. Therefore, our lives are transformed. Therefore, we live in community with each other and love God and love our neighbor. And so we find that this transformation occurs because of what Christ has already done for us. And so many times that's what daily habits are about. These daily habits are about reminding us of all that Christ has done for us, connecting us to God to help transform our minds, our bodies, our spirits, as we then go out to love and serve God and others. And so we see, we've been talking here in the Luther Small Catechism, and Luther has a small catechism, it's his small teaching, and he concludes his small catechism with this final section that has some daily prayers and daily blessings. He has a morning and an evening prayer, as well as prayers at meals. And he puts these in here because really Luther understands, as we've been talking about, that these daily habits help to shape us. These daily practices help to transform our minds. And so I am hopefully on your way, and you got a little card that says Luther's morning blessing on one side and Luther's evening blessing on the other side. But if you didn't, there's some on either entrance on the way out, so you can pick one up. But this is just a small daily ritual, but in many ways, it's a powerful ritual. As we were talking with the kids, what are your nighttime rituals? And so it starts out, I'll read the morning blessing to you. It says, in the morning, as soon as you get out of bed, you are to make the sign of the cross and say, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, watch over me. Amen. A very simple practice. And then he says, kneeling or standing, say the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. And if you wish, you may, in addition, recite this little prayer as well. I give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, it begins. And I love this beginning because it begins with gratitude. You're already thanking God for what God has already done. So I give thanks to you, God, and then uses the word Heavenly Father, identifying God as that compassionate and loving Father who cares and provides for all of God's children. And then it continues, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected me through the night from all harm and danger. I ask that you would also protect me today from sin and all evil so that my life and actions may please you. So you can see here in this prayer, the prayer is that all that we do would please God, that our whole life would be pleasing to God. And then we have this commending. It says, into your hands I commend myself, my body, my soul, and all that is mine. Let your holy angel be with me so that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. And then it says, I love what it says in red at the end, the little directions at the end. It says, after singing a hymn or whatever else may serve your devotions, you are to go to your work joyfully. I love that it says, go to your work joyfully. But it really understands kind of that as you begin your day and you first thing out of bed, that you would begin the day marking yourself with that cross, reminding you who you are and whose you are, and then to offer up this prayer that you commend your life to God, that all your actions will be pleasing to God, and then you're to go about your day, all that you do during your day, joyfully. Now, I won't read to you the entire evening prayer. It's a similar kind of prayer. But then what I love at the end, and we do with my children have at times, you know, talking about daily rituals, have added this into our daily ritual as a kind of final concluding prayer. But we read the Luther's evening prayer, and then I always read the last part. It says, then you are to go to sleep quickly and cheerfully. I always vibe, so I say, are you cheerful right before my kids, you know, how do we go to sleep quickly and cheerfully? But the idea, I think, being that if we're going to sleep and we've offered ourselves to God, oftentimes what keeps us from sleeping is anxieties or worries or those kind of things. And so now that we've committed ourselves and our night and our asking for God to protect and watch over us, to go to sleep quickly and cheerfully. So those are kind of two daily rituals that Luther commends. Now, this is not to say that you have to do these things, or if you aren't already, some people have other daily rituals they do, prayers, devotions, any of those kind of Bible readings. Those are all wonderful. If you're already doing it, great. But if you don't have a daily ritual, this is a wonderful daily ritual just to kind of end cap your days. He also has some prayers before meals. So then kind of again at mealtime, reminding us about that this is a gift from God. And so these kind of daily rituals help to shape us, excuse me, and to shape our perspective, to transform us, to transform our minds, transform as we go about our work joyfully, go to sleep cheerfully, to engage in all that we do with God. And truly, that's what rituals and daily habits do for us. The gift they give is they give us transformed perspective to bring us life and peace. As shared earlier, when people who have severe dementia are able to remember these foundational things from their youth, they find such a sense of peace. And the same is true for us. That gift of peace that comes to us as we have these daily rituals, whatever those rituals may be, because God wants us to find life and to find peace so that we may experience love and joy. So I invite you to reflect on what daily rituals you either currently have or feel so compelled to try in your lives to find joy and peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.